Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Are you ready for God's word this morning? You are? I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Psalms 119 and verse 89. Psalm 119, verse 89. Oops. Amen. Are we all there? Psalm 119, verse 89. Amen. It reads, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." Now that simply means when you approach God about anything, that's not when God starts to try and sort it out. You're approaching him, especially when you approach him with his word, you're approaching him with that which is already settled. Amen. You come to God, his word is already settled. In Isaiah 40, verse 8, it says the flower withers. The grass withers. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of my God stands forever. I think it's three separate places in the Gospels. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. That means the probability for heaven and earth to pass away is there. And the only time when God uses impossibility in his word is in respect to his word. It's impossible for his word to pass away. Amen. So I bring you something that's settled so you can rejoice. It is settled. God's word concerning you. Whatever promise you're hanging on to, as long as you know where it is written, it's settled. Amen. Praise God. God's word concerning you is settled. And I'm glad I noticed you're still making your victory confession. And I noticed it has been revised. The one I'm conversant with is, this is my Bible. This is the written word of God. The word of God is true. The word of God is alive. And the word of God is powerful. I meditate on the word. I confess the word. I believe the word. I live by the word. I am everything the word of God says I am. And I can do everything the word of God says I can do. The anointed word of God has already set me free. I don't know about you. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. I strongly hope it's not on a Sunday morning that you make this confession. I hope it's every waking moment, 24/7. Because the truth is, our victory is in God's word. The best that God has for us is in his word. And until we find what he has said, and we hang on to what he has said, and make it work. Genesis chapter 1. On the seventh day, God sat down. He's not doing anything. Yeah, in 24-hour days, he set it all up. On the seventh day, he rested. And the key that unlocks the beauty he saw when he released you is your Bible. If you don't know where your Bible is, then that journey is going to be very far. That journey is going to be very far. If you are strangers, let's look at Ephesians. Amen. Ephesians, I believe it is chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. Or let me start from 11. Are we all there? Ephesians 2, 11. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So my simple definition of a hopeless situation is a situation where you are clueless about what God has said concerning that situation. Amen? Am I making sense? Amen? A hopeless situation is a situation where you don't know what God has said. Amen? Because your victory, I'm going to say it again, your victory is located in his word. Amen? Your victory is in his word. And it is our responsibility to find what he has said, meditate on what he has said, live on what he has said, stand on what he has said, and bring to pass everything that he has said. Amen? Praise be to God. I'm here to share with you how the word works. Amen? How the word works. Glory be to God. This morning, when I was still thinking about it again, even though, you know, if you look through my notes, I've gone through so many editions of what God has laid on my heart to share with you. But that this body, he just said two simple words. Say it. Amen. If you like to have a title for today's message, I would like to title it Say It. Just say it. Amen. That's exactly how God's word works. Amen. Now turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Or before we do that, can we scroll to Romans chapter 8? I should have done this earlier on. Romans chapter 8. I love the first and the second verses of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 8. Are we all there? There is therefore now. Now here is why I love this verse. Because every time you come to that word now, and you say that word now, that scripture updates itself to now. Amen? There is therefore now no condemnation. Okay, now let's make this interactive. Unto whom is there therefore now no condemnation? Anybody? Sorry? Those who are in Christ, a round of applause for her. She has just proved that she can read. Amen. But that's not the answer I'm looking for. Unto whom is there therefore now no condemnation? Anybody else? Yes? I wish we can give him a standing ovation. Amen. Amen. I like that. Because now I'm going to have to apologize to God for using thing to in connection with his word. But then the only thing on this side of eternity that God permits us to be selfish with is his word. Because God's word is primarily written for you. So the person to whom there is therefore now no condemnation is me. And he went like this. Amen. He went like this. That's true. That's the only time God permits you to be saved. Because God's word is written primarily for you. Amen. This is the most accurate representation of God that you have access to this side of eternity. Even if Jesus appears to you, if what that Jesus is saying has no bearings to what is written, you can tell him, sorry, you look like Jesus, you sound like Jesus, but I know the word of God. You are not the Jesus the word of God talks about. Because you see, the most accurate representation of God that we have access to this side of eternity are the words written in your Bible. Amen. And there is therefore now no condemnation unto me. Why? Because I am in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30 says, of God, you are in Christ. So you have every right to say, there is therefore now no condemnation unto me. I am in Christ, and I walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Why? Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Amen. And your access to unlocking this, say it. I know this might sound so simple. How does the word work? Genesis to Revelation. And a young man, this is my first time preaching in how many years now? Since 1998. And all he's saying is, the key to unlocking the best of God is say it. It sounds so simple, it sounds so foolish. But that's it. Just say it. Just say it. Say it over and over again. You have every right to say so. Because this is God speaking to you. There is therefore now no condemnation to you. You are in Christ. And you walk up. You see, okay, I'm going a little bit ahead of myself. So I think I'll come back. Say it. Amen. Now turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. I believe I have less than 30 minutes to go. Amen. Hallelujah. We are looking at how the word works. Amen. Are we all there? Proverbs chapter 4 verse 20. It reads, my son, give attention to my words. I think the King James version says, my son, attend to my words. Give your attention to God's word. The next part says, incline your ears to my sayings. Now, that word incline, it comes with the connotation, you're not just listening to anything. You are purposefully taking what he has written that you have given your attention to. You are now giving it voice so that you can hear it. Am I making sense? Amen. Hallelujah. Do not let them depart from your eyes. You know, it's so easy to want to rely on memory. You know, when it comes to God's word, you know where it is written, and then you just put it to memory, and then you want to rely on your memory. No. God is saying, do not let it depart from your eyes. Know where it is written, go back to it, and read it, so that you can hear it. Amen. And it says, keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? For they are life to those who find them. Amen. That was a great place to give God a big shout of praise. But they are life to those who find them. It's only those who go through the process of giving their attention to his word, inclining their ears to his saying, not letting it depart from their eyes. Those are people, they're never more than 10 seconds away from a Bible. You know, because you might be at work and then a word just comes. Don't rely on memory. You know, thank God for Google. Just Google, even if you don't have Bible, Google it. Amen. And say it. Amen. Say it. Because in saying it, you are inclined, you are making yourself hear what God has said. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Only God can qualify and quantify what happens in your spirit each time you hear, even if it's yourself, but it's God's word you're saying, each time you hear it. Amen. Glory be to God. So say it. Why? Because eventually his words are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Glory be to God. Amen. Glory be to God. I can't overemphasize this. It sounds so simple, but that is the solution. Just give your attention to it. Give your attention to it. Let it become all consuming. Amen. It's a process. And as it is written, it's leading you to life. It's leading you to the manifestation of God himself. Because God is life. God is Zoe. Amen. Praise God. So you're attending to His word. You're inclining your ears to His saying. You're keeping it before your eyes, or not letting it depart from your eyes. Keeping it in the midst of your heart unlocks His life that's already written in it. It unlocks your victory. It unlocks His health that's in there. It unlocks the best of God for you. The key is, give your attention to it. Amen. Give your attention to it. Praise God. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. I am going through scriptures that would answer that question, how the word of God works. Two words, say it. Just say it. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4 and verse 14. Now this is Jesus speaking. If you have a Bible where the words that Jesus say are in red, I'm sure your Bible has it in red. So this is Jesus talking. He says, the sower sows the word. Sows the word. Now, if you knew somebody who was into industrial farming, let's say he grows what kind of maize, and he comes to you at the start of the season, he says, just as soon as the maize is ripe, I will plant my seeds. Depending on how close you are with him, you might slap him, because that's stupid. You know, he wants to wait until there's maize before he plants the seed. But don't laugh, because for most of us believers, most of us Christians, that is what we tend to do with God's word. We want to have a track history of being righteous before we confess with our mouth, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We want to wait until our bank account reflects 6 digits before we say, I am blessed. Why don't you start with what God has said? We read it, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Amen. So that the blessing of Abraham might become ours. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, God promises Abraham, I'll bless you. In exactly one chapter later, read it, Genesis chapter 13, verse 2. The Bible says, Abraham was rich. And that's what the blessing of God does. But we want to see the money first before we say, I'm blessed. No. The sower sows the word. You find out what he has said concerning you, and then you say it. Amen. But then in that parable, Jesus talks about 4 different kinds of grounds. The first is the wayside. Devil comes, takes it, because what's it called? For lack of understanding. But before he explains that parable, he says to his disciples, he says, blessed are you, because it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Blessed are your eyes and blessed are your ears. So that means we don't fall to that category. You know, those who don't understand. But those on the wayside. They don't understand. The devil comes, takes the word away. The second is the seed that falls amongst stones. The Bible says they receive the word with joy, but then persecution arises for the word's sake. But because for lack of depth, because the stones is struggling for earth, or is keeping the seed from tapping from the soil. So because of the stones, it dies off. You can't blame it on the persecution that arises for the word's sake, whether you like it or not, until we cross over. The devil is here and he is self-employed. Amen. Praise God. If you are here wishing that the devil will let you go, you might as well say, Father, take me home now. Amen. He is here. He's self-employed and wants. You see, he has no problem with a believer who has no intention to do anything with God's word. But the moment you open your Bible with the intention to study, to meditate, to stand, to act on what is written, he knows now that is a threat. He can't stop you. But then he can attempt. You know, persecution arises for the word's sake. But for lack of depth, and because of the stones, the rocks, because of that, the word fails to produce. Amen. That is just simply things in your life that are struggling with your attention to God's word. It might not necessarily be sin, but if there's anything that competes with the time you ought to be giving to God's word, yeah, that's a stone. And until you get it away, until the word has your whole attention, until God's word has full access to your heart, it's not because God's word is not productive. It's because of the stones and the rocks you have allowed permission in your heart. The third type of ground is weed. I hope you all know weed grows anywhere. Wherever there's soil, weed will grow. Amen. How many of you have gardens at the back of your house? And when you go to the garden center, you say, oh, can I have seeds for weed? No, you don't say that. You know, weed just grows anywhere. But then, very important, listen to what Jesus called weeds. In verse 19, it says, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word. Not that the word was not productive, not that the word could not work, but because of the cares of this world. Remember, Proverbs 4, we started to say, give attention to my words. Amen. And I believe it's in First Peter chapter 5, verses 6, 7, 8. He says, cast. Amen. I love that verb. Cast, you know, cast. Okay, what can I cast here? There's, everything here is valuable. Cast, you know, no, it's valuable. There you go. You know, this is cast. That's how God wants you to deal with your cares. Attach no value, just cast it on him. He doesn't say, I'm God, so you just come and give me your cares. No, you know. Cast your cares. Because that care would choke his word. Glory be to God. Your victory is already in God's word. But until your full attention is given to his word, until you are in that position where, okay, the rent is due or the mortgage is due and you are seeing what is in the bank account and you can still turn to his word and say, you are my source. You can still go through his word for what to say. Then you're ready to do business with God. But when you make that care your care, you choke the word already. You've missed out on an opportunity for the life of God to show up in your situation. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. Now that is something we should be very this is for those of us who, yes, we have experienced the blessing of God. Amen. We have gone from Primark to maybe Marks and Spencer. Oh, no, Marks and Spencer, to Waitrose. We've moved from, we're okay. The deceitfulness of riches. Jesus turned to the rich man. He said, camel? It would be easier for a camel to go through needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. What was he saying? His trust was in his riches. And because his trust was in his riches, he himself closed the door for him to enter the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven simply means the way heaven operates. Give, receive. Seed time, harvest. But his trust was in his riches. Amen. I need to be very, very, it comes in, it chokes the word. Because all of a sudden, yes, the mortgage has been paid. The children are at university. We're saving up for our retirement. And all of a sudden, that's where your trust is. It chokes the word. Amen. And then the lust for other things. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5 says, let your life be lived without covetousness. let me read so I can be accurate. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5. Where is Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. To be content simply means to be filled.
Amen.
To be filled with what you have. And immediately after, it says, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You have God. What else do you want?
Amen.
You have God. What else do you want? Remember, Jesus called weed the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things. Not that the word is not capable in itself, but by you giving permission for the cares of this world to be there, for the deceitfulness of riches to be there, and for the lust of other things to be there, it comes in and it chokes the word. Amen. Praise God. God's word will work. Any, I don't care this. it's irrespective of the situation you introduce God's word into. It will work. But the key is say it. Say it. I'm mindful of time. Say it. Say it. Okay, let's just look at one more. Let's look at one more script, one more verse, and then I will begin to round this up. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Are we there? Okay. We're still looking for Joshua. Like Kenneth Copeland likes to say, it's after Deuteronomy. Where's Deuteronomy? It's in the Bible, New Testament. Praise God. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you, who? You, not God, you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. It says the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it. To meditate also means to say.
Amen.
You just say it. But Jesus is saying, God is telling Joshua, it shall not depart from your mouth, but then for me to meditate, for me to say it, it's going to leave my mouth. So what's God saying? He's saying, when you confess my word, say it with the intention to be the first one to hear it. Say it with the intention to hear it. Say it with the intention to hear it. It's not departing out of you. You're not just, my God shall meet all my... No, you're just saying it. My God shall supply all my needs according to riches in glory. Greater is he who is in me than he is in the world. To meditate for it to work, you are saying it with the intention to be the one to hear it. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by God's word. Amen. And it comes to a point. Now, as you are saying it and you are hearing it, faith is coming. The faith that comes is working in your heart. It's getting rid of the doubt. It's getting rid of the faithlessness. It's getting rid of the fear. It's getting rid of all the unbelief. Remember, you weren't born yesterday. I gave my life to Christ when I was 16. So for 16 years, I was talking a whole lot of rubbish. Amen. Even after giving my life to Christ, praise be to God. I didn't learn all of this. So let's add another 40. So for 30 years of my life, I was talking a lot of rubbish. The same way faith comes by hearing and hearing by God's word, the same way fear comes by hearing and hearing the word of the devil. Amen. So the faith that is coming is getting rid of all that you've built your life on over the years. It's getting rid of it. It's getting rid of it. But continue saying it, because as you say it, faith is coming. That faith is tidying up your life. It's getting rid of everything until it comes to a point when you say it the faith that comes has no. This is where Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you said it and said it and said it. You're filled with faith. The faith no longer goes to work in you. It goes out to work on your situation. Amen. But to get there, it's a process. Now let's see what God said. He said, you shall meditate in it day and night. As far as God is concerned, it is only day and night. It's us human beings that came up with twilight, afternoon, noon, lunch, evening, early evening, late evening. In God's agenda of things, it's day and night. So God is telling us, meditate in my word always. Say it always. Say it all. Just keep saying it. Amen. As I close, Abraham. God appeared to me. He said, I promised you, you'll be the father of many nations. He said, as a matter of fact, from today, your name is no longer Abraham. Your name is Abraham. And Abraham directly, it's us, you know, in the days we live, we don't know the wealth of the language then, but the direct translation of Abraham is father of many nations. So when he went around and said, oh, good morning, I am Abraham. He's saying, I am the father of many nations. He was 100 years old, but he kept on saying it. And we know the end of the story. He became Abraham. When the angels appeared, and they were talking about Sarah. Sarah would what's it called? She'll have child. Sarah laughed. She said, me, at this age, will I still bring pleasure to my husband? But God changed her name as well, from Sarai to Sarah. I don't know the direct translation of, or I don't know the meaning of it, but I think it means princess. She kept saying it and saying it. The king, is it the king, King Abimelech, found her desirable. It's in the Bible, read it, read it, it's there. And Abraham had to lie. He said, no, that's my sister. That's what the word of God did in her. She became desirable. 90-year-old. 90-year-old mama still attracting a king. I hope you know kings don't go for just anybody. They go for the best. Amen. But it is her continuous confession. Because then they didn't have Bible. All they had was what God told Abraham that evening. He said, from today, your name is Abraham. I promised you. You have my word on it. And we have his word on it as well. And the key is saying it, saying it, saying it, saying it, saying it, saying it, until everything in you just wants to observe, to do according to all that is written. And then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. On Calvary, God gave his best so that you can have his best. See, now the challenge to us is you must never allow whatever it is you're going through to invalidate what is written. It's just a screensaver. That's all it is. But then, if that is what you're giving your attention to, it becomes your focus. But when what is written becomes everything that matters to you, to the point where that's all you talk about, it's all you say. Amen. It's all you talk about. It consumes you. Amen. You get to that point where you know, about the integrity of God's word. I mean, Jesus has said it. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Our best response is honor. Because you have said it, I believe it. Because it is written, I'm holding on to you. It's just a matter of time. God's word has its own due season. Just hold on to it. And keep doing, just keep saying it. 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 Jesus put it this way. You will have what you say. In Mark 11, verse 22 to 24. No, I think it's verse 23 where it says, have faith in God. He mentions the word say three times. Believe once. Say it. Say it. And here's what you must not do. Don't say what you already have. Amen. No. Say what is written. Don't go and say, I'm broke. just because it's the nearly end of the month and rent is coming and, you know, you're looking, you're calculating, you know, left, right, center. No. But I know the temptation is high to say things as they are. But the clue is saying what he has said. Say what you want to have. Let's put that. Just say what you want to have and keep saying it. And keep saying it. Jesus said, you will have whatsoever you say. Have you been blessed this morning? Amen. Stand to your feet and give God a big, big shout of praise. Stand to your feet. Glory be to God. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give God praise. Give God praise. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Give him all the praise. 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 Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he should repent. If he has said it, he will do it. If he has spoken it, he will make it good. Glory be to God. That is the one with whom you're dealing with. Glory be to God. Give him praise. Give him praise. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Father, we give you praise. We give you praise, O God. We give you praise, O God. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. Glory be to your name, O God. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, we pray. You see, your decision today should be from now onwards. All that matters to me is what is written. Amen. That ought to be your decision. All that matters to me is all that is written. Therefore, I will give my attention to what is written. I will incline my ears to what is written. I will not let it depart from my eyes. I will keep it in the midst of my heart. And as I leave you with what Gloria Copeland said, I think it was last week. She said, if you can turn it around in your mouth and in your heart, you can turn your situation around. Amen. God's word belongs in your mouth and in your heart. Its access is what you say that you're continually hearing. And eventually, God's word will find its way into your heart. And God's word will then release everything that is loaded in it. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Welcome to a life of victory. Welcome to a life of victory. Welcome to a life of victory. Glory be to God. Amen. As long as you have a Bible, you've got everything. You've got everything. Glory be to God. Thank you so much for this great, great, great privilege. Thank you so much. And glory be to God. Pastor told me when I got here, he said, this is the first of many. I look forward earnestly to being back. Amen. Praise be to God. Thank you so much.